Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all today. A few weeks back there, the Lord deposited a little line during a sermon that I was sharing here. A couple of weeks ago, Tim laid a lovely foundation regarding Christ as the rock. But the line I got was, being hidden in the cleft of the rock. Amen. We just sang there, there is no rock. There is no God like our God. Amen. No other name worthy of our praise. He's the rock of salvation that cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is the rock. I said, Jesus is the rock. Hallelujah. I am feeling incredibly excited. My heart is skipping a beat with nervous excitement today, which is good for me and not so good for you, maybe. Do you know the words? That's a little bit background here. Do you know the words amazing grace aren't actually in the Bible? Well, not put together like that. But that hymn has been so etched onto our hearts and minds that I cannot hear the word amazing without the word grace. Same is actually true of Rock of Ages. The Coverdale Bible, published way back in 1535, that was the first complete modern English translation of the Bible, not just the Old and New Testament, and the first complete printed translation into English. And we read in that version, in Isaiah 26, verse 4, hope, everyone say hope. Hope still in the Lord, for the Lord God is everlasting strength. Amen. But the Amplified Bible published in the 1960s says Isaiah 26 verse 4 like this. Trust confidently in the Lord forever. He is your fortress, your shield, your banner. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Amen. Wow. But undoubtedly, the analogy of Jesus Christ to the rock has its roots directly in Scripture, and there are numerous Old Testament references to the Lord as a rock or the rock of my salvation. Praise God. One of our most favorite songs, and I'm sure we'll get to this before we get out this room today, is from Psalm 18, verse 46, which says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The famous hymn, Rock of Ages, was written in the 18th century by Augustus Toplady, when he was only 23 years old. It is said he was inspired when he'd taken shelter during a storm in a rock formation by the side of the road. Now, whether it's true, it's not really actually that important. But verses throughout Scripture are continuously identifying Jesus Christ as the rock of ages. So he wrote in that hymn, now listen to this. I'm going to jump about, then I'm going to bring it in for you today. So just stay with me today. He says, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself where? In thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Hallelujah. Now we're going to jump about, so you need to stay in the spirit here to catch what's about to happen. This is some revelation for me and hopefully something for you today. You go ahead into the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. It says in there, in verse chapter 2, verse 14, call out, O my dove. Now, do I have to give you a learn there? Who is the dove in the Scripture? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. So here in Song of Songs, O my dove, then it says in the clefts of the rock. In the secret place of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Wow. But how can we look upon God? How can we look upon God? Because the reality and the enormity of God's grace and goodness are too much for you and I to comprehend, for you and I to look upon according to Scripture. When Moses and others were permitted to see was just a small part, a portion of God, of His ways, His wonders, His works. But something so radical happened to Moses that completely altered the shape, the model, the mode of his life, that transformed him from the inside out so much. When he came back amongst the people, it says the radiance and the glory of God was upon him so much that they could not look even on him. Is this the kind of encounter, a wonder in 2023 that God is still needing for people like you and I to have? When we got up close and so personal with Him and we're not entirely sure about everything's going on, but we are changed from glory to glory, from moment by moment. What was happening to Moses during this experience? I want to put it to you that when he encountered God, not only did he encounter God, he encountered the fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh. Can I try and show you something? Are you ready? The picture of Jesus Christ as a rock split open or cleft to provide a place of spiritual refuge for people comes from Moses' experience. That's recorded in Exodus chapter 33. Hallelujah. Let's read that. But he said, the Lord said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Wow. Then the Lord said, it was a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see only my back, but my face you must not see. Oh. So Moses was granted this favor only with some proper limitations, restrictions, and precautions were put in place. Why? Because Moses, a mortal, could not see God's face and live. So God himself protected Moses by putting Moses in the cleft of a rock. And as he passed by, covering Moses in that cleft with God's own hand from the harem that would happen to anyone who looked directly upon the glory of God. That's what it says. Now down through the years and down through the dynasties and down through the empires and eras of time, rulers and lords and kings and queens, they have had what's called their inner circle. And within that inner circle, they have had one who has had the ear of the Lord or ear of the king. That was known as their closest counsel or their wisest advisor. He was the one who would speak on behalf of the Lord or the ruler of the land. And very often, that ruler had one who was close would be an heir. That heir would be in the bloodline to the throne. That person would be one of royal nobility himself. he would be a child of the king. In some dynasties, in some empire, that person was called the king's hand. Stay with me. The king's hand. Let's look at this again. God himself, the Lord says, there's a rock beside me and you shall stand there on the rock. And while my glory is passing by, I will put you in the cleft of a rock, protectively cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back and my face you shall see. Not see. Danny, come here. Just stand and face the crowd. We're not sure the form God takes. God is spirit. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty. And darkness covered the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was covering or hovering over the waters. If you jump ahead into the New Testament in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was where? The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So if God is with Moses, and Moses has not to see the face of God, as God is, I'm not pretending to be God, by the way, in any shape or form. And God is passing by. At that moment, Pastor Debbie, come and stand behind Danny. And put your right hand over his two eyes. Watch what's happening here. If the Spirit of God is passing by, and has passed by, and then God says, remove my covering. Remove my hand. I am curious to who this is. Are you hearing this? I am curious to who this person covering Moses' eyes might be. Because I believe on the mountain, that this is the second time, that the reason that this man's life was altered forever and the glory of God came upon him is because he was in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All of that was going on. So when Jesus removed his right hand, I know you're not convinced about this yet. We're going to show you something as we go. He could then see the back of God move away. I'll do, guys, right now. Let's stay with that. This stuff gives me goosebumps. This could be total and utter heresy this morning you're getting here. You know what it says in Exodus 19, verse 4? It says, I carried you or bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to the place. Just before. See, the word of the Lord is coming to people at Moss Vale that you're going through a lot of stuff right now. Moses was going through a lot of stuff right now in the wilderness, moaning, groaning, complaining, all sorts of stuff. And someone had to come and lift him up and say, listen, I'm going to carry you to the place so I can give you what you need to sustain you, to keep you going. But I'm not just going to show up for the meeting up here in the mountain. I'm bringing the Trinity. I'm bringing them all in together. You're going to have such an encounter with the three of us in one that your life will be dynamically changed forever. So when you go back down there, it doesn't matter about the moaning, groaning, complaining, all the stuff that's going on, you'll be above that because the shadow of the Almighty will be covering you all the days of your life. That's the kind of encounter that God is looking for you and I to have with Him. Listen, I believe the reason he was changed. See what Debbie did there? She was Jesus. She is Jesus in many ways. He never just saw the glory. He was touched by Jesus. It's the touch of the Master that alters us. It's His hand on us that heals us, that sets us free, that equips us, that looses us. Let me show you something. Some of you are unconvinced about this. I want you to see something. I want to move forward. I want to say it this way. This is what God showed me. The wound in His side is the cleft in the rock. The wound in His side is the cleft. It's all pointing. This experience is a foresight, a foreshadow. Pastor Robert would preach to us years ago about types and shadows. For years, I never understood it. I get it now. Thank you for that, Pastor Robert. It took me a long time, but I get it. Type, the wound in His side is the cleft. Listen to that. Why is the wound in the side, the cleft and the rock? Because the wound in His side has been opened all the way to His heart. Are you hearing this? This is rich. This is rich. I'm just pouring everything out because I'm going away to leave you for a few weeks. I'm pouring it all out this morning. You know why it is? Because His very heart is broken for us. It is broken for us. And water and blood flowed out of His side. Amen. Amen. His side is the wound that is our cleft in the rock, who is the Christ. And church, we can hide in the cleft of the rock and we can be safe. Why? Because He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is our place of refuge. In His side, we understand that we are directly close to the heart of God. What a place. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, since, listen to this, let me qualify this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated, where? At the right hand. Hello? At the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And now your life is hidden, hallelujah, with Christ in God. Debbie, Danny, do that again. This is important. This is important. Now just, I know you're both married people. But I just want you to remember Song of Songs calls out to the dove in the cleft of the rock. What if Moses' picture was more? Like this. God, this is too much. Can't cope with that. That's too much. What if it was? But Moses, child, I've got you. Engulfed, encompassed, under the shadow. The wings of eagles, the wings of dove, guarding you, protecting you. Right through the Psalms, it talks of refuge, a place, a hiding place, a safe place. What if we are open to that same experience, covered, thank you. Just like that scene. That is the scene that God wants every single one of us to have. You see, listen to this. Our eternal life is hidden with the wonderful Savior. With the wonderful, protected as you could hide from the storm in the shelter of the cleft of the rock. Not hidden as a secret, but hidden as protection from the judgment that may have to come. The things that we are talking about are so much bigger, so much greater than our minds could possibly begin to imagine or even think. They are too profound for our understanding, divine beyond the scope of human comprehension, the mysteries of the Trinity, the Godhead. Isaiah even spoke it, didn't he? He said in 55:8-9, we quote it, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Because he is above. He is above, and his ways are higher than our ways all the days of our life. See, by being hidden in Christ, the cleft of the rock broken for us in the cross, we as believers are sheltered from eternal death that we would face if we otherwise had to stand unprotected, unsheltered before a holy God who executes righteous judgment. So that rock, being Christ, hallelujah, becomes our very breath, becomes our source of life. Think again about the Israelites. Think about the Israelites when they're wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And Paul writes, "For they drank from a spiritual rock." It's not a natural rock, no sir. It's a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Paul is referring to that event recorded in Exodus chapter 17. "I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out for people to drink." Amen. Moses, at God's command, struck the rock, bringing forth a needed supply of water. Listen, for the people of God. Again, that physical rock is a picture of God providing a never-ending supply or never-ending flow of water to satisfy man's sinful need. The water from the rock that the Israelites drank is actually a foreshadowing of the cross. Again, it's a picture of his side being opened that we may drink living water and live and not die. Praise God. The scripture tells us that God put Adam to sleep when he brought forth his bride Eve from Adam's side, and he gave her to him. Likewise, while Jesus slept in death on the cross, we know, again, his side was pierced and so opened that blood and water spilled out, it flowed out. Listen to this quotation. "Christ has flooded the universe with divine and sanctifying waves. For the thirsty, he sends a spring of living water from the wound which the spear opened in his side. From the wound in Christ's side has come forth the church, and he has made her his bride." Paul qualifies that in Ephesians chapter 5. "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." See, when our days are, and our nights for that matter, are filled with uncertainty, and we can't find hope or security in our relationships or on our governments or in our rulers, because we can't possibly find in those that only know what we actually know, truth be told, or understand things only on the same level as ours, and can do no more than the things that we can do. Listen to that. Scripture says this. We all only see through a glass dimly or darkly. But our refuge is in the one who is so, so much higher. Praise God. When Moses was 120 years old, the Lord told him his earthly life was drawing to a close. And he went out and spoke these words to all of Israel and over Joshua in Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. He says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, neither be discouraged." And then comes the song of Moses in verse 30 of the same chapter. And Moses recited the words of this song from beginning to end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. Listen to verses 3 and 4 of chapter 32. "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he." 8 times he speaks of the rock and prophesies and challenges the ever wavering people of Israel for deserting him. And in verse 39 he sums it up. "See now that I myself am he. There is no God beside me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal." And listen to how he completes. "And no one can ever deliver you out of my hands." Out of my hands. No one. Would you stand with me? I've poured it out. Nothing left. Open your heart to God for these few minutes. Beloved, like nothing else, let us cling to our rock. Let me say it this way. The mystical cleft in the rock is a place that we can rest in. Leaning not only in, or leaning not only on our beloved, but leaning into him. He is in us, and we are in him. And church, we can rest in the cleft of the rock, which is the pathway directly into his heart, and be in the safe place from all disturbances of the world, the flesh, the forces of evil. Listen to me. Who is God but the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? He is the strength of my life, hallelujah. He is my fortress, praise God. He is my deliverer, whom I rejoice in. He is my shield and my stronghold. He is to all who run to him a shelter, and to all who trust him an everlasting foundation. I want you to understand that his side has been opened and there's access to the heart of God today. When I came in this morning, I had no plan. I never really do. No idea what the Holy Spirit wanted to do or say in what way he wanted to do it. But I want to go back to that little scripture in Exodus 19. Which says, "I carried or bore you on eagle's wings." Talks a little bit about authority. God's authority, God's reign. "And I brought you to the place." And before we really rejoice and worship, it's important for me to say this. If you've not been in the place for some time. The place of encounter for some time. I believe that God, by the Holy Spirit, actually carried you in here today to this place for a moment in time in your life so that you too can have an encounter with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not here to dwell or labor on anything at all. What we're going to do is a couple of worship songs right now. And let me say this to you. If any of this you know has spoke directly to you, that you've not been able to see with spiritual eyes, but you've been seeing just a lot in the natural, and because of that you've been operating in petty things, small-minded things, things in eternity that don't really matter. This is the word of the Lord now. God's brought you to this place to lay them down, to liberate you, to loose you, to give you a fresh vision of who Christ is and what he has done for you. And so as we worship God, and I am not saying we're having an altar call. I'm not saying that, no. What I'm saying is if you can't help yourself this morning and you need somebody just to stand and pray with you for a couple of minutes, then during this little worship time, we love praying for people. But this isn't a forced thing today. It's an opportunity by the Holy Spirit. Because I just do sense in my heart that some of us have been in the place of avoidance. Actually running not to, but running from. And God wants you to run in to the cleft of the rock, Jesus, so you can have an encounter with the heart of God this morning. So as we worship God, you can stay where you are, raise holy hands and worship God and be blessed. Hallelujah. Fantastic. But this is God's moment, God's time, God's house, house of prayer. It's consecrated, sanctified, set apart for God to operate and God to work. So I'll say it again. Peter's going to lead us in a couple of worship songs, and once these worship songs are done, we're going to praise and give God thanks for this week that's gone past, for the events of last Sunday, for the breakthrough we experienced. We want to thank God for that. But before we get there, open your heart to God. Open your heart to God, Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit. The covering of the Holy Spirit fall on thirsty souls this morning. Breathe in his breath of God. Fill us with life in you. Because Lord, some of us, I include myself, need to be transformed and changed just a little bit more. Or maybe even where you are, just go on your knees this morning and give God thanks. Just give God thanks for how incredibly awesome he actually is. Amen. Peter, let's go.